Welcome to Talks Chats, ACT's podcast program. I'm your host, Ilona Bebenek. This year, the ACT annual meeting will be held in sunny Phoenix, Arizona from November 17th to November 20th. And I have two special guests with me here today, incoming ACT President Lorraine Buckley and ACT Education Committee Chair and Counselor Grace Furman. Lorraine and Grace will provide highlights of the annual meeting and talk about the scientific program, as well as the annual meeting activities. Grace and Lorraine, welcome to Talks Chats.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I want to acknowledge that this will be ACT's 40th annual meeting, and to honor that, ACT will be hosting a special celebratory program. Highlights specific to those celebrations and activities will be discussed in a separate podcast, so watch out for that on our website. Now, getting back to the highlights of the meeting, I'd like to start with you, Grace. Can you talk about some of the continuing education courses that will be offered at the annual meeting and what we should watch out for?
Absolutely, Ilona, I'd be happy to. I'm very excited about the continuing education offerings for our 40th annual meeting. This is the second year in a row that ACT will be offering 10 CE courses instead of the usual 8 courses on CE Sunday, which this year will be on Sunday, November 17th. We'll have 5 courses offered in the morning session and 5 courses offered in the afternoon session for those members who prefer to sleep in a bit on Sundays. This year, we're trying a new format for the study director training continuing education course that ACT offers on a regular basis. This year, the study director training CE course will be offered as a 2-part comprehensive course, with one part scheduled as a morning session and the other part scheduled as an afternoon session. For part A, the morning session, the presentations will include topics relevant for study directors, including a review and history of GLP regulations, managing and addressing the challenges of multi-site studies, and designing toxicology studies to meet evolving animal welfare expectations. Part B, the afternoon session, will concentrate on the science involved in toxicology studies and will help attendees understand how to evaluate the data generated. The topics to be covered will include immunotoxicology, biomarkers, anatomic pathology, and regulatory expectations for an IND package. Folks interested in the study director training course won't be obligated to register for both the morning and afternoon sessions, but we do hope that the 2-part format will allow for a more comprehensive training opportunity that will provide an excellent introduction for new study directors and a great refresher course for experienced study.
That sounds like a very thorough course, Grace. Is it meant for early career professionals, or can anyone benefit from this course?
That's a very good question, Ilona. The course would be perfect for early career professionals with study directing responsibilities, but even more experienced study directors and toxicologists who aren't study directors, but who place toxicology studies at contract labs could benefit from the information to be covered in this course. In addition to Part A of the study director training course, the morning CE session will include a course on basic immunology and new approaches for immunotoxicology testing, a course entitled Leading as a Toxicologist in Pharma, Advancing the Project with a Cross-Functional Team, a course on the toxicological approaches to non-mutagenic and mutagenic pharmaceutical impurities, and a course that will cover 10 concepts with recommended practices to optimize toxicologic pathology data for toxicologists. In addition to Part B of the study director training course, the afternoon CE session will include a course on safety testing of gene and cell therapies, a course on regulatory meeting preparation and conduct, with speakers addressing US, EU, and China-specific concepts and practices, a course entitled Metabolites, What Do I Need to Know?, and last but not least, a course covering new and emerging ICH non-clinical guidance documents and topics to keep everyone well informed of the current regulatory environment and associated expectations. This year's Education Committee is very excited to be offering these 10 CE courses at the 40th annual meeting. The course slide decks are under final review right now, and we know that each of our 10 courses are going to be high quality, valuable continuing education opportunities for toxicologists at all stages of professional development.
Grace, this sounds like a very interesting range of topics for the CE courses. It certainly seems like there's something for everyone.
Oh yes, we do hope so. Oh, and one more thing, Ilona. This year will mark the first year that ACT continuing education course materials will be provided in a fully electronic downloadable format. That's right, no more paper course booklets, yay! But rest assured that all continuing education course registrants will have full access to electronic course materials prior to the meeting. So there'll be an opportunity for folks to print out the course materials and bring them to the meeting if they prefer the more traditional hard copy format. ACT's classroom-based courses offered throughout the year have now each made the transition to a fully electronic format, and that format has been very well received by course attendees. So now the continuing education courses will continue this evolution, saving a few trees in the process too.
Sounds awesome, Grace. Now, Lorene, as incoming ACT president, you took the lead in putting together the scientific program as chair of the program committee. Can you give us an overview of what to expect in terms of the symposia topics and plenary lecture presentations?
Yes, happy to. So ACT's program committee has organized a great selection of relevant, high-quality sessions this year. The final program, which can be viewed on the ACT website, features 11 symposia and 7 workshops on a wide range of topics. There are several sessions oriented toward best practices in the regulatory toxicology space, including safety assessment of excipients, developmental neurotoxicity in pediatric development, non-clinical sections of submission documents, and inclusion of non-clinical data in product labeling. A special session sharing the current state of affairs on the submission of non-clinical e-data, or SEND, will be complemented by 2 exhibitor-hosted program sessions. The use of in silico and novel in vitro approaches to safety assessment and risk assessment will be the subject of several sessions. Drug development in the 21st century, exploring next generation in vitro toxicology models, and increasing acceptance of in silico models to support the 3 R's. We'll hear about new developments and trends in cell and gene therapies, including AAV-based gene therapies. Several sessions are going to focus on real-world challenges in globally outsourcing studies, incorporating functional safety pharmacology endpoints into tox studies, and sorting out adverse versus non-adverse findings. One of my favorite sessions that deal with practical challenges is the popular Keep Calm and Carry On session sponsored by the Early Career Professionals. In addition to a career development theme in that Keep Calm and Carry On session, there will be a session devoted to the nuts and bolts of mentoring, an interactive workshop with case study examples focusing on the why, when, and how of developing and building mentor relationships. You know, I also want to mention that ACT Council has received consistent feedback about the excellent quality and quantity of sessions offered at the annual meeting. This year, we're going to offer 4 sessions each in the morning and afternoon on Monday, and we'd especially like attendee feedback on the 4 versus 3 session format, which can be provided in the annual meeting feedback survey.
Lorene, ACT has 2 plenary lectures during the annual meeting, and I understand that this year the speakers are Dr. Alessio Fasano, who is known for his research on the gut microbiome, among any other things, and the other plenary lecture speaker is Dr. Thomas Hartung, who is a lead researcher in toxicology and pharmacology. Can you give us a bit more detail on what we can expect to hear from both of these presenters during the plenary lectures?
Sure. I'm really excited about these 2 plenary speakers. So Dr. Vassano is a world-renowned research clinician who was a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School and the director of the Mucosal Immunology and Biology Research Center at Mass General Hospital for Children. Dr. Vassano is the director of the Center for Celiac Research and Treatment at Mass General, and he's widely sought after as an expert in celiac disease, intestinal permeability, and autoimmune disorders. He has published extensively on gluten and the microbiome. Dr. Fasano will speak to us about the healing power of nutrition, how diet can reshape the gut microbiome and influence the balance between health and disease. Dr. Thomas Hartung, our second speaker, is the Doreen Kamp Zwinden Chair for Evidence-Based Toxicology and holds a joint appointment for Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and the University of Konstanz in Germany as a professor for pharmacology and toxicology. Dr. Hartung is also the director of the Center for Alternatives to Animal Testing, or CAAT, C-A-A-T, of both universities and headed the Human Toxome Project. He is the former head of ECVAM, the European Center for the Validation of Alternative Methods, and has authored more than 550 scientific publications. Dr. Hartung will speak to us about the development of micropathophysiologic models. These are organotypic cell cultures of spheroids and organ and human-on-chip technologies to enhance and refine our approaches to human risk assessment.
That sounds great, Lorene. I'm really looking forward to hearing both plenary lectures, and the topics are so relevant and intriguing. Besides a great scientific program, ACT has always provided plenty of networking opportunities at the annual meetings. So, Lorene, can you talk about some of the planned networking events?
You're right, Ilona. Networking is an important and highly valued aspect of our annual meetings, and we make special efforts to create many opportunities for networking throughout the meeting. So the first big event will be on Sunday at 5:30, a special anniversary celebration of our 40th annual meeting, which has been organized by the Charge 40 Task Force. I believe you have a special podcast on that reception, so I will say no more. The anniversary program will be followed by a welcome reception, which, in keeping with the 40th anniversary theme is titled Party Like It's 1979. Be sure to sign up for that and enjoy music from ACT's own Jazz Ecology Group. All meeting attendees are invited to the award ceremony and luncheon on Monday. It's a good opportunity to meet and chat with others over a delicious lunch and hear about the winners of ACT's prestigious awards. And on Monday evening, come to the poster session with Wine and Cheese to discuss the latest research work with the poster presenters and to visit with exhibitors. I'll also mention that new this year, we've suggested a novel billboard type of poster format as an option for presenters to use, so that should be interesting as well. After the poster session, early career professionals will have an opportunity to talk with experienced leaders in toxicology about different career paths and areas for professional growth at their annual speed networking session. Finally, visits to the exhibit hall offer light bites, more opportunity for networking, and a few surprises, including a scavenger hunt and ACT's 40th anniversary time capsule.
The time capsule sounds really interesting and fun, Lorene. I want to mention that more information on this particular event will be provided in our special ACT 40th anniversary podcast. Getting back to the activities and social events, is the ACT members meeting still taking place on Tuesday
evening? Yeah, that's right. And during that meeting, members can learn more about how the college works and how you can become more involved. Afterwards, ATC members can enjoy the ACT members mixer. Members should be sure to register in advance for the mixer, however. Similarly, students and early career professionals should register in advance to attend the early career professional social, also taking place on Tuesday evening. But don't stay up too late, as you'll want to start out early on Wednesday morning to walk or run at the 6th annual Tox Trot. Finally, as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end, and we'll celebrate the week with the closing reception on Wednesday night, which is, as always, open to all meeting attendees. So, as you can see, ACT's 40th annual meeting will be a scientifically stimulating and very fun week to meet and reconnect in the Great Southwest.
It sounds like you've put together an excellent program. Lorene and Grace, thanks again for joining me today and providing this great preview to the annual meeting.
Our pleasure.
I also want to thank all the members of the Education and Program Committees for their time and commitment in putting together an awesome scientific program. And thanks to our audience for tuning in. Just a reminder, be sure to sign up for the CE courses online because seating is limited. And we'll see you in Phoenix.
This podcast was brought to you by the American College of Toxicology, whose mission is to educate, lead, and serve professionals in toxicology and related disciplines by promoting the exchange of information and perspectives on applied toxicology and safety assessment. For more information, please visit www.actox.org.